from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Venue Kings, venuekings.com. News out of the NFL. Ravens and Steelers was supposed to be your nightcap tomorrow, 5 o'clock Pacific time, for the NFL Thanksgiving trifecta. That game now has been moved. It will not be played tomorrow due to COVID issues with Baltimore. Instead, 10:15 Pacific time on NBC on Sunday. Speaking of changes, UW-Utah is now the game. No Apple Cup, no San Diego State, no BYU. The Utes instead, 7:30 ESPN, and of course right here on 950 KJR Saturday at Husky Stadium. Nick Saban won't coach for Alabama this weekend. Remember earlier this year? Just kidding. That's a false positive, false negative. Well, this time we're not joking. He's got a positive test for COVID. He is out in the Iron Bowl against Auburn. Sad news from soccer. Diego Maradona, one of the top players in the history of the game, passes away at the age of 60. Much better news locally in soccer. The Sounders got a win last night. It's the playoffs. That's what they do. They win games. 3-1 over LAFC. I was going to say something else with LAFC. Sounders play on Tuesday against FC Dallas in the semifinals of the Western Conference.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
They, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Powered by Toyota of Kirkland. Visit toyotaofkirkland.com. By Windermere at windermere.com. By Team Bruce at guildmortgage.com. By Car Toys, a better way to go. By Real Steel, find yours. Visit your local steel dealer today. And by Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Head to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I have my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. Can't start it that way.
No, you can't, okay?
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
Hour number two of the show, Carter Volkswagen Studio, Carter Volkswagen, CarterVW.com. Jackson's running the show across the way in the Redbox producer's booth, and right now joining us in the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, Mike Holmgren with us on Thanksgiving Eve. Hello, sir.
How's it going, buddy? How you doing?
Hanging in there. You, too. I'm assuming a little different Thanksgiving this year for the Holmgrens. Usually I picture this massive gathering with your huge family. I assume that won't be the case this year.
No, you know, normally there's 18 people here at our house and going crazy and having fun. And we were planning a similar type of thing a couple weeks ago, and then the kids all decided they're going to just stay at their own houses and then we're going to get on Zoom tomorrow night. That's what we're doing.
Welcome to 2020, huh? Welcome to
2020. Yeah, it's something. Hey, Ian, we'll look back at this hopefully, and hopefully never go through something like this again. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
I like that. I like that attitude, and I kind of think we'll look back on this and probably appreciate things a lot more on the other side as well. So and hopefully that's the case. Well, you got a chance to lay eyes, courtesy of the Westwood One broadcast on Monday, on the Seahawks and the Cardinals. What were your overriding thoughts coming out of that game?
Well, the first thing, it was a very different game than I had anticipated. I expected a lot more wild and woolly stuff like they've been having. Both teams are capable of doing that. But I think the Seahawks were much more controlled. I thought Hyde did a really nice job. He was really impressive to me, and they needed him to be that runner that night. And then the defense, I thought they'd made improvements, took steps in the game previous to that, and, you know, the Ram game in the second half, and then they carried it over into the game the other night and really made things hard on Kyler Murray. So, and give them a lot of credit for that. They did a nice job. So it was a different game, but I was kind of encouraged. I trust, though, that they won't put the clamps on Russell, let him throw. They were doing good with that before, but the defense is playing better.
Mike, when I want you to kind of expand on something that Hugh mentioned to me on Monday, because I'd love to get your thoughts on this. You know, we live in a world now with a lot of different numbers and analytical numbers, and people will tell you that one of the things that we've seen in the NFL over the years, the last few years, is the diminishing value of a running back. And you mentioned Carlos Hyde, so that's why I want to bring this back up. I wonder, because I think that's just kind of oversimplifying and not giving guys credit for being good football players. I mean, a good running back, I think, makes a big difference. But one of the things, you know, I kind of asked you about that. What difference did Hyde make? And he talked about vision and kind of the reading of a defense, his vision, the anticipation, all those things that kind of go in that maybe when you're just running a drill and, you know, a guy runs a 4-4 and cuts back and no one's tackling him, he looks fine. But when you get to a game, it's the other stuff. What in your mind kind of separates good running backs from great running backs?
Well, I think, first of all, their ability to be a total running back. You know, I always thought that being a good pass receiver was important, being a good blocker was important, even though Sean Alexander, you could never accuse him of being a good blocker, but he had great vision. I mean, he really was spectacular that way. And so, and if you're a young, if you're a new young running back in the league, you come in from college and you've done X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, it's a little like receivers going against DBs. All of a sudden, the running back now, you're playing against more speed on the defensive side. You can't get away with some of the stuff maybe you got away with in college because maybe the tackling's better, the players are bigger and faster, and so on. So, yeah, I think it makes a difference. Those teams that there's so much throwing now and so much. Part of that is the quarterbacks that are coming into the league, and they're a different breed too. So, you know, I think that's part of it, that they are saying the quarterback now gets a lot of rushing yards. They talk about Arizona being the number one rushing team, as an example, in the league. Well, they're number one because of Kyler Murray, not because of the other guys. The other guys are pretty good, but, I mean, and when Russell would have all those big yards in a particular season, that would up the stats for the running game. But that's the quarterback running, not the running back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. You mentioned Sean's vision. Like, that's hard. Can you see that when you're scouting somebody, or is that something? I mean, how? Like I said, I mean, a lot of guys, if you just line up 20 running backs in the NFL, they're going to look really similar, right, in terms of how fast they are and their cutback ability and all this. And I'm talking about just in a practice and a workout or a 7-on-7 sure. or what have you. But it's when stuff gets gobbled up. I mean, Sean has great vision. I think Marshawn had that, you know, everyone thinks Marshawn just carried guys, you know, Larry Zonka style or John Riggin style down the field. I mean, I thought Marshawn had a make you miss, but an ability to find and know where the hole was, or if it wasn't there, what the next option was.
Yeah, and when you're evaluating running backs, I mean, they're all, I would say they're all different, you know, and what do you look for in a running back? I think you look for his speed and his ability to find the hole, his toughness, can he break tackles, all those types of things. Does he turn down contact when he gets out of, you know, those, now that, you know, you have Franco Harris, one of the great running backs of all time, he would, and Sean Alexander to a certain point. You know, he wouldn't take the unnecessary hit if he could avoid it. And that was okay with me as long as he kept, you know, kept going.
Yeah.
And he did. So, but you look at that, and they're all different, but I think you need one. I know you need one to have a total offensive package.
Yeah, that Hyde kind of dictated the physical play of that game as well in so many ways. Mike Holmgren joining us. What would you do? Doug Peterson's got probably some issues going on. I mean, Carson Wentz has just really struggled. Obviously, the guys around him, the offensive line, not as good as it was when they won a Super Bowl. And, you know, obviously didn't play in the Super Bowl. They made the decision to go with him and not Foles. He's the younger guy. But now they're kind of they're a little bit of a crossroads. They've got Jalen Hurts kind of waiting the wings, and Wentz has struggled. How would Mike Holmgren try to handle the Carson Wentz situation?
Well, I think the irony here is Doug phoned me the other day.
Well, there you go.
and he goes, you know, I know Brett did crazy thing. They were teammates together, and I coached Doug, so he goes, what can I do? What'd you do with Brett? So we had a really good talk. But I think, you know, he's their quarterback starters. You don't, even though people are kind of pulling people out and right and left, but he's their quarterback. He has to know that and play with that type of confidence. That's the first thing. But then the second thing, as a play caller, and how he delivers the ball, how fast he gets it out of his hand, because he's getting hit a lot and a lot of sacks. You can help him with the type of plays you call and coach it that way. Get it out, get the ball out of your hand. If you don't have it, it's incomplete. We live for another day, but we can't have the fumbles and the sacks on your body and things like that, then Carson has to follow those rules. You know, I mean, that's, you know, as much as I talked to Favre about that kind of stuff, it took him a while to follow the rules. And then he finally got it, you know, now we're rolling. So, but he also knew that I had his back. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important with Carson Wentz.
One last thing real quick. I think that's an interesting dynamic that you just talked about. And that would be, he's got to know he's the guy. Every coach, I know here we kind of emphasize it a lot, you know, all about competition and stuff, but I think every coach will tell you, right, that's, you know, everyone's competing for a spot and everyone's competing. Well, like, Walter Jones wasn't competing with anybody.
That's right.
Right? Steve Hutchinson wasn't competing anybody. Matt didn't, for the most part, once he got the job, right, and once he was the
right
guy. But, like, how important is it for that particular position to know that he is the quarterback? And is not competing and having to look over his shoulder on every play?
I think it's really important. I mean, you know, when I was in San Francisco, one of the hardest years I ever had coaching was trying, when Joe Montana and Steve Young were on the same team, and just kind of in coaching them both. But Joe was the quarterback, but for some reason, you know, he had a little bit of, you know, you're talking to Steve too much and all this kind of stuff. And then Steve would come in, you're not coaching me. What are you doing? We were in college together. You know, it was tough love. I had to tell them, well, shut up. Just, this is how we're going to do it. And just kind of, you know, I have you, this is how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And just relax and play the game the way I know you can play the game. And it's really important. Even with the most confident, it's been my experience, even with the most confident, gifted quarterback, he has to believe that you trust him. And then, you know, on the other side of the coin is that, you know, I trust him and he's got to trust me. And once you kind of iron out those things, then you got a chance to do what you want to do.
Great stuff, my friend. I appreciate it. I appreciate all you do for us. Very thankful we have you on the air every week and throughout the rest of the shows on the radio station. I know it's different this year, but enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday nonetheless. And we'll check
you
in
too
with you in a week's time, all right?
Ian, you too. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
I appreciate that. That's Mike Holmgren joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. All right. It's a Wednesday, but we still have questions to be answered. Fantasy football, games tomorrow. Two, not three, but two tomorrow. We'll just do some text coming up next. 49451 on the Coors Light text line. 49451. Get your text in for Brandon Funston. We'll answer those when we come back on 950 KJR.
He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
It's time to talk fantasy football with TheAthletic.com's Brandon Funston.
Rodgers throws for the end zone. It is caught.
Derek Carr is showing off.
Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. The beautiful, brand new Emerald Queen Casino. Located on I-5 in Tacoma is now open.
Gurley diving across the goal line.
Mahomes to throw for the end zone. Kelsey with a grab in the middle of the end zone. Touchdown.
Wilson going to run.
Diving for the end zone.
Now with Brandon Funston, here's Ian Furness.
You hear that music and it means one thing, baby. The weekend is upon us. Huh? Usually Thursday, but the weekend starts early this week on a Wednesday. Funston joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, all brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. What's up, my man? How are you?
I am doing good. It is earlier, so I'd like to just throw out the disclaimer that subjects on the show are subject to change.
Yes.
Usually the Thursday afternoon's great because you get a whole bunch of practice report stuff, so we're just a little bit earlier this week. Still some things in play at this point.
All right, let's do this. We said text 49451 on the Coors Light text line, but I do have at least one caller if you want to chime in on the phones, 206-286-9595. I'll take a couple calls as well, because let's go to line two. How could we have a week without Mike and Edmonds? I mean, that would just be that'd be a tragedy. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Mike, and you're first up.
Yes.
If you want to fire off one before I get to the text or a couple other calls.
Same to you guys, and I hope Ricky backs me up.
All right.
Okay. knowing that my opponent has Deshaun Watson as his only quarterback, I need one of these four wide receivers. Brandon Cooks, Devontae Parker, Chase Claypool, or Deontay Johnson. And happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
All right, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mike. That's a good That's a good group. I never worry about what your opponent has. I never look at it. I think that's just a bad habit. So don't worry about that. You got to rank these guys in the vacuum. Mike, you're a standard league guy, so his weight's a little bit heavier on the touchdowns. I have Deontay Johnson and Claypool just a little bit ahead of Cooks, and I'm going to lean Claypool just for the touchdown upside.
Perfect. That answers one of our texts as well, by the way, which is good. Before I go to the text, I don't have Ricky, but I got... Yes, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Rob in Burien, still calling late in the year, Rob, so I'm assuming you must be okay then. You're still hanging around there?
Two wins in a row, baby.
Woo.
We've got two in a row, all right?
You know what? 2020 is a really strange year. I mean, in every way, shape, and form, just like that. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so do I leave Ruggs on the bench? So I got Evans, Parker, and Hill. Do I leave Ruggs on the bench? And can I go Green Bay or Tennessee defense?
You absolutely leave Ruggs on the bench, and I'm impressed that you've managed to carry him on your team this long. listen, I think you got to go Green Bay. There is a possibility that Taylor Bray is the quarterback for the Bears. It's unknown, but I like Green Bay at home against it. Just a terrible Bears offense.
All right, perfect. Rob, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to the text, 49451. PPR, Ballage or Gallman?
Gallman. He's kind of been the guy. I like the points upside in that Bills-Chargers game.
Blodge has been doing well. Oh, they're bringing what's-his-face back, though, right? Is Eckler coming back?
I think it'll be next week. I doubt he plays this week, but Blodge wasn't great last week. I like the Bills side of this. Who was the other guy?
Ballage or Gallman, but I was just wondering about Eckler coming back too. So
yeah, Eckler's practicing, which is great, but I don't think that he'll play this week. I think it'll be next week.
Gronk or Ebron, PPR?
I'm gonna go with Gronk in this one. I like the upside again for points and against Kansas City as well.
You know what I got to do here? I'll see. I'll get another one. Bridgewater or Jones in a quarterback standard in a standard league for a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Daniel Jones, who's third among quarterbacks in rushing. He gets Cincinnati. He hasn't thrown an interception in a couple games. He does that one more time. It's like his NFL best. He hasn't gone three straight games without an interception, but I think he does it.
All right, and I got to do this because Kevin would kill me otherwise. 13:00:01. So basically 1 second in. Top of the hour at 1 o'clock. PPR, Kirk or Lamb and Taysom Hill or Matt Ryan?
Let's go with Taysom Hill. I'd probably change it to Matt Ryan if Julio Jones plays, but I think Taysom Hill with the rushing upside is probably overall the safer play. Tough matchup for Ryan as well.
And then the
other one was Kirk or Lamb, PPR. I'm going to go Kirk just because Lamb got shut out by the Washington football team just a few weeks ago with Andy Dalton at quarterback. So bad history card there.
PPR flex position, Antonio Brown or Ahmed?
Ahmed hasn't been practicing this week. Gaskin has, so we could be going back to the other Washington Husky running back, former Husky running back. So I'm going to stay away from Ahmed this week.
Standard pick two, Lockett, Cooper, Thomas, Boyd, or Claypool?
Pick two. Claypool and Lockett.
Okay. Lockett, just a quick thought on Lockett and Metcalf this week against Philadelphia.
Yeah, Darius Slay is the one guy you worry about. He's probably hooked up on DK, and because DK is very often, other than maybe Jalen Ramsey, matchup, you know, independent, I don't worry too much about Metcalf, but Lockett should be free in the middle a little bit better. And Michael Thomas, I just want to talk about him really quickly. He had a 100-yard game with Taysom Hill last week, and some people might think, okay, he's, you know, out of the woods now. I think it's going to be a different story this week going into Denver. They get after the quarterback a lot better. Taysom Hill, if you watched Atlanta, they gave up more fantasy points to the quarterback than Seattle, and they cannot get after the quarterback. So Hill was very comfortable last week. I think it'll be different this week.
Pick two, Robinson, Drake, Swift, Davis, Taylor.
Robinson, Drake, Swift. Let's go with Drake and Swift if he plays. He's trying to clear concussion protocol. If not, I'll go Taylor.
You and I can both talk about this. Ian, can you ask about Josh Gordon? There's nothing to report still. He's still flailing.
Yeah, I just did a, you know, internet research investigation just the other day, and there's just literally nothing out there. No one has any kind of information.
It's crazy. Well, the NFL just let them swing out there and wait and wait and wait. Quarterback, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill, or Cam Newton?
I'm actually going to go Cam Newton slightly over Tannehill. I actually think Wentz is third on that list.
Is Wentz ever a start these days?
It's been tough. He's not doing well under pressure. He's getting pressured a lot. 14 interceptions to 14 touchdown passes. They're just kind of missing real, you know, playmakers in the passing game right now.
A lot of quarterback questions today. I like that, though. Okay, let's see if I can go back to this one. Kirk Cousins or Tua, 6-point passing for touchdowns.
I'm gonna go Cousins slightly.
Are there two quarterback leagues out there?
Is that there's in a lot of them they call them super flex, where your flex spot can be a quarterback.
I need two of these quarterbacks: Lamar Jackson, Taysom Hill, Stafford, or Teddy Two Gloves.
I'm going to go with the two running quarterbacks there, and Taysom Hill and Lamar Jackson.
Okay. And that game, we're pretty confident will still be played. It's just Sunday now at 10:15 Pacific time, by the way. Baltimore and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Full PPR, pick three: Zeke, James Conner, Chris Carson, Kalen Ballage. Pick three.
Okay, well, Ballage is way out of the equation on that one.
So Zeke, Conner, and Carson. Then, yeah. Right? Yeah. And looks and like
welcome Carson. Back, Chris Carson.
Yeah, but, where do you have him ranked this week?
I have him ranked 14th at running back. So, solid play.
They're decent against the run, right, Philadelphia? I think they're
decent. Yeah, they're actually really, really good. That's, you know, normally I'm putting Chris Carson right there in around the top 10. So
that's why it goes back to the Lockett DK Metcalf conversation. This is the week you get after with those guys.
Right.
Seattle's defense ranks pretty high for you this week?
They do, yeah. I mean, Wentz has been very generous, and we've seen this defense step up the last couple of weeks. I mean, and we'll see. Maybe Shaquille Griffin's back, too.
He should be. Yeah, he's been practicing. So, yeah. PPR, Damian Harris or Kenyon Drake?
I'm going to go Damian Harris. Rex Burkhead out for the year, and Harris has been running well. I'm going to give him the slight edge over Drake. I like them both, though.
I love trade questions. You know that. You get a trade question in, we're going to go for it. Trade question for a rookie keeper next year. I have Jay Taylor and was offered Ayuk for him.
Nah, you want – it's so hard to get a featured running back. Taylor, I'm going to go there. Ayuk's been doing all his damage without Debo. I think he'll be the number two receiver once Debo's fully healthy.
I have Lockett, Metcalf, and Ridley. Who do I play of the three? God, can you not play all three of them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, seriously, I'm going to go with DK Metcalf, just the touchdown. He's been the most consistent guy. Ridley's been consistent, but when Julio Jones doesn't play, it's been very inefficient. He gets a high volume of targets, but you know, it's not a high volume of catches typically.
How do you have all three of those dudes and you can only play one of them? That's my question, right? Like,
yeah, it's like D-Hop and Devontae Adams as your other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, God, exactly. Yeah. It better be those guys. What are you hearing about Mostert playing for Santa Clara?
He should be back. I'm feeling sort of okay about him. I think Tevin Coleman, even Debo Samuel, we might get all those guys back. It's not a great matchup, and you don't trust that Shanahan will just turn Mostert loose in his first week back. So I'm tempering my expectations, have him kind of ranked as a back end RB2.
All right, let's see. PPR need one: Todd Gurley, Carlos Hyde, or J.D. McKissic.
In PPR, man, I might. I'm gonna barely give Gurley the nod over McKissic. Typically when Washington is leading or playing competitively, they don't just sell out to McKissic in the passing game. So I think that could be the problem for him this week.
Trade, final question. Trade, half point PPR. Trade Kamara for Michael Thomas and Kareem Hunt. Yes or no?
I probably wouldn't. I mean, Kamara's 1-2 overall. I think, like I said, I don't think Michael Thomas is out of the woods just yet.
All right. My man, great stuff. Have a great Thanksgiving. If people are wanting to wait, and obviously, as you mentioned, it's really early for us. Normally, we would not do this till Thursday. What tell people about the Athletic and what you got going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff on the Athletic, and we always give you a bunch of stuff to get you ready for the week ahead in fantasy football. Lots of great writers covering all the NFL teams and all sports, and it's a great time to get in on the Athletic. Their Black Friday deal is going to be $1 a month for a year, so $12 subscription for a year. It's typically $60. It's a great time to check it out.
All right, my man. Have a great week, Brandon. Thank you so much.
All right, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
You too. Thanks. That's Brandon Funston, brought to you by our good friend. Friends of the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. And, of course, when I talk about the EQC and I see the clock hit 35 past the hour in the 2 o'clock hour, that means it's time for one thing. Here we go.
It's time for Fact.
Just the Fact Jack. That's a Fact Jack.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
Fact or Fiction, brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, your chance to win a $1,000 weekly prize. Jackson, we're going NFL, I think, but I'm making one final check here. I'm making one final check. VegasInsider.com, Saturday. It's not on the main one, but there's another page here, which is still the one.
Okay.
I'm scrolling down. You know where I'm looking. You know what I'm looking for.
To see what the line is?
If
it's out there.
They have it listed, but they don't have the odds yet. Oh, that is weak. Oh, one refresh. Because whatever it is, it's not going to be high enough. Whatever it is, it's not high enough. Line movements, anything, no line history at this time, no line. Damn it.
I think Sophie said that MGM had it.
Yeah, but we have to go with Vegas Insider. It's part of the rules here. So that's fine. Whatever. That just sucks. That's just no good, man. I thought I had it. And like I told you earlier, the show before us, they wanted that game badly.
Yep.
Because we're all kind of figuring the first one will come out like 6.5 for Washington. Right. If you get it right off the get-go, easy money. Instead, these guys will probably get it in the next hour.
Yeah.
That's fine. I got a backup plan. It's the National Football League.
Okay.
It's gone up a little bit, I do believe, but that's okay. I can live with that. By the way, Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino Entertainment, capital of the Northwest. Brand new EQC open up on I-5 in Tacoma. How do you play? Pretty simple. We give you a game. If you agree with the game that I give you, my pick that I make, you text in Fact to 49451. If you disagree, you'll text Fiction to 49451. Not yet. Wait till I tell you what the game is. Jackson will open up the window. You'll have 12 minutes to text in. If you text in and you're correct with your pick, automatically you're entered to win a $1,000 weekly prize. We've got a $10,000 grand prize, and if you've been playing all year, you know about that. You're in the running for that. That's great. If you're just starting for the first time, you're not going to have any chance for $10,000, but you will have a great chance to win $1,000 because there's only, what, 12 picks this week.
Exactly.
With a short week. So make sure you text either Fact or Fiction. Doesn't matter. Text one or the other. Just text something in a minute. My apologies, because I'm not the best about checking other people's picks. I care about the 10-1 show. I know they grinded over this one. They didn't do it. They took the under on the Cleveland game, I believe.
Yep, they did.
Well, Slickcock was trying to convince everyone that the Niners were going to beat the Rams outright.
Which is what the morning show picked, by the way.
That the Niners would win?
That they picked. I don't know if they said outright, but they picked the Niners. Yeah, that's what they picked.
Foolish pick. Rams are a 7-point favorite at home against San Francisco.
Yes.
That is as easy as money as I can find. I can't even think about an easier pick than that. Outside if it was Utah, you know, +6 or something, or you know, Washington -6 with Utah. Rams -7 is a fact. 49451. They're going to win that football game, and they're going to win it rather easily. If you watch the game on Monday night, if you've watched the Rams play this season, as much as it might pain us all to think and believe this, they're probably the best team top to bottom in the NFC. They don't have a major glaring weakness. Their quarterback's good enough. I know we all want to hate on him. I do, too. He's a dummy. I mean, you know, Earth is flat and all that kind of stuff, whatever. But the Rams are really good, and the Niners, at their best, are pretty good. Well, they're not at their best. They might be getting a couple dudes back this week. They ain't getting Kittle back. They ain't getting Bosa back. Sherm's tapped out for the year. They're good.
This is so easy. The Rams just beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we have been saying is a contender to win the NFC.
Handled
in
them.
Tampa Bay.
Really kind of handled them.
Oh, yeah, that was a three-point game.
I mean, they if you watched any of that game, you understood they handled them.
Like, how do you pick, Chuck, this morning, how do you pick the San Francisco 49ers to win this game?
If they
or just +7. They
gained one on us on Monday because I went opposite their Monday night pick because I took Tampa Bay. I didn't believe that. I didn't believe it, yeah. But I took it because I'm trying to make up ground. See, I'm not worried about those behind us. I'm worried about catching them.
Okay.
But I'm glad they made that pick because I'm going to get one right back
on. You are. Yeah.
Rams -7, fact, 49451. Rams over the Niners, Rams -7, fact, 49451. Text that in right now. you text in FACT, you're going to be entered to win $1,000. It's just as simple as that. If you want to win $1,000, text FACT to 49451. Again, nobody wants to admit it. Nobody likes it. But the Rams are really good. And they are going to boat race San Francisco on Sunday. So Rams minus 7, FACT 49451. Text in right now. You got about 11 more minutes to do so. Even if you disagree with me and think, Furnash, you're always full of it, you're dummy, what have you, then text in fiction to 49451 as well. I don't care. Just text in something so you have a chance to win a $1,000 weekly prize coming up on Monday. And as I tell people all the time, if you have texted in fact or fiction during the week and you know you've got some right, then know this. If on Monday sometime in the morning your phone rings and the first six numbers are 206-494, answer that call.
Yeah.
Because it's Kevin Shockey. And he's calling to tell you you won $1,000. It's as simple as that. Don't be the guy that hits ignore. I don't want to talk. No, no. 206-494 on a Monday morning. If you played Fact or Fiction, Kevin Shockey's calling you with good news. Fact 49451, Rams minus 7. Softy joins us next. Dave Softy Mahler is joining us as I wrap up the week. You want to just take it from here? I'm out of here.
I'll take it from here if you come back at 3 o'clock and take it until 6.
That's not going to happen.
How's that?
You want me
a fair deal.
You want me to do the Jimmy Lake show for you today?
Yeah, why not? You know? Hey, I hosted the Mike Price show 1 year.
I know.
You could host the Jimmy Lake show.
How was Chris Peterson as a member of the
Hawks? He was fantastic. I mean, I was annoyed that we had some technical problems yesterday, but, you know, whatever. Stuff happens, right? But
yeah.
He was great. I would definitely recommend checking that out in the podcast at sportsradiokjr.com. You know, he's just he's a different guy now, right? I mean, different, obviously, in that he did the show with us. Right? I mean, that wouldn't have happened a year ago. There's no way that would have happened a year ago.
Talking to you was like he the last thing he wanted to do a year ago.
Well, I'm just, I think it's the last thing he wants to do now. But the fact that Baird was there made it tolerable for him.
Yes.
You know, we're sitting there in the press box at Husky Stadium. I'm looking at Chris Peterson thinking, man, this is like not even close to how I thought this would go. Right, in the last couple years. If you would have told me, so when did Peterson resign? Was that December that he resigned?
I want to say so, yeah.
So if you would have told me.
No, it was after the bowl game.
Right, so it was.
It was before the bowl game. No, it was, yes, it would have been December, right?
Yeah, so I think it was in December. Sorry, I just cut my mic off.
Yes.
It was December 3rd, 2019. Wow. So if you would have told me a calendar year ago, which would have been a week before Chris Peterson resigned, that in a calendar year and a week later, we'd be sitting there doing the show with me, Dick Baird, and Chris Peterson live from Husky Stadium, talking about a Utah game that's being played in place of the Apple Cup. That would have been the third game of the year for UW and not the eighth game of the year, the tenth game of the year. I would have said, you're out of your freaking mind. But it's amazing, right? I mean, nobody could write this stuff.
No, not in any way, shape, or form. And if we could go back in time, we'd make sure that didn't happen, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, unfortunately.
But, absolutely. So he was great. You know, he talked about one part that stood out to me yesterday. He talked about how he has a sex ed class with his players when they show up. Yeah. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you got a bunch of, you know, 18-year-olds whose hormones are running wild.
Right.
And they do stupid stuff.
Yes, they do.
And so the head coach is saying, look, you're not going to put me or the program or your teammates or yourself in harm's way. Here's what you should be thinking about. And that's the difference between a guy like Chris Peterson and a guy like an NFL coach.
Yeah.
That's not thinking about that stuff. He's dealing with 120 knuckleheads.
No.
And he said that before. He talked about going on vacation back in the day when he was at Boise State. He tells his staff, I'm done. I'm checking out. I'm going on vacation. Don't bother me. And then I think the story is like one of his players' parents died, and he had to be contacted to talk to the kids. So it's nonstop.
Well, that's the thing that always amazes me about a college coach is, and, you know, position coach, head coach, what have you, and maybe more so some of the position coaches, but they're never off.
Right.
Like when you – I mean – whether it's recruiting or, I mean, the recruiting period never ends,
right?
In a sense. I mean,
never.
I know it.
Never.
Mean, you're always contact, and especially now because you do it through social media.
Yep.
You're never off.
Well, even just being abreast of what's going on. I mean, never mind even contacting people, right? Yeah. Just being aware of what the hell's happening.
You have to have
Check out.
Well, you have to have a passion that's unbridled. I think that's like when he resigned and people were like, what are you doing? I mean, the burnout factor has to hit it.
Absolutely. Well, right. And look, I mean, he'll admit it, that he was in a special position where he could retire.
Sure.
Because of his finances.
Yeah.
But the guy that I talked to yesterday didn't sound to me like a guy that was going to get back into coaching.
He's
got his Built for Life curriculum. He wants to put that into some kind of form for, you know, teachers or, you know, business managers or head coaches or whatever. So, right. I don't know, man. As you get older, you tend to kind of be maybe more infatuated with stuff like that. You know, motivational speaking, direction, knowledge is power, all that. And I want to hear what the guy's got to say. Every time he opens his mouth, there's literally nothing that comes out of it that I don't want to hear.
Do you think
I'm not intrigued by.
Did you think ever...
As opposed to me.
That's exactly true. Do you think there's anything he feels like he didn't accomplish in his football coaching career?
I think he feels pretty good. I mean, he never won a New Year's Six bowl game at UW, right? You know, never won a Final Four, never won a Rose Bowl, but he did at Boise. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty content with what he accomplished at Washington, but who knows? Maybe the guy wakes up one day and feels otherwise. So it was great. So, yeah. Rick Neuheisel, 5 o'clock today, by the way. We're shoving everything from Thursday, Friday into a Wednesday.
That's what we did.
This is a stuffed, to use a Thanksgiving word, stuffed Wednesday show.
Petros 420.
Petros will be with us at 420. Florio at 320. Neuheisel 5. Harlan 520. And then our buddy Bill Riley from Utah, the play-by-play voice of the Utes. We'll get him on and let him slam BYU for 5 minutes on the air.
And Jimmy Lake Show at 6.
Jimmy Lake Show at 6 p.m., correct.
And you get Factor Fiction at 3:35.
Factor Fiction,
I think you're going to have the Washington line by then because Vegas Insider put it up. They haven't put the line up yet,
really?
But they have finally listed
it. Well, MGM Grand has it at -7. Husky's given 7, but we got to go by Vegas Insider.
Right. If not,
we can't go by Barry'sLines.com. We have to use Vegas.
Although
Insider.
Kevin isn't here today, so
that's true. The hell with him, man. He's not here.
Well, you guys,
what's he gonna do?
I don't know. You have fun. With that.
I mean, screw the guy.
Screw him.
Not here.
You know what? You guys have fun with that.
All right. See you, man. Happy Turkey Day.
For the mild mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying so long, everyone.